Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Mark chapter 14. Thanks, everyone, for your prayers. I went to Disneyland on Monday, and because it was the kids are on holiday, and I decided to carry all my kids on my shoulder pretty much the whole day, and I'm not a young man anymore. I think that's a reality. So I end up straining my neck and my shoulder, my traps, and I couldn't even move my neck. And so so I've been on Valium, actually, to relax all my muscles. It's like the worst medicine in the world. So I've been kind of out of it. So, but hopefully I'm back. I'm still on the Valium, but hopefully we can do something this morning. So thanks for praying for me. I think it's just chalk it up to old age, okay? But let's go to Mark. We go to chapter 14. And this is it's all leading in into God Friday coming up. And this is the death plot and anointing. We'll read from verse 1, Mark 14. Now the Passover and unleavened bread was 2 days off, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to seize him by stealth and kill him. For they were saying, not during the festival, lest there be a riot of the people. And while he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial, a very costly perfume of pure nard, and she broke the vial and poured it over his head. And some were indignantly remarking to one another, why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor, and they were scolding her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For the poor you always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do them good, but you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that also which this woman has done shall be spoken of in memory of her. And Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went off to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And they were glad when they heard this and promised to give him money. And he began seeking how to betray him at an opportune time. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he sent two of his disciples and said, go into the city where the man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room, which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he himself will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready, and prepare for us there. And the disciples went out and came to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12, and they were reclining at the table and eating. Jesus said, truly I say to you that one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. And they began to be grieved and to say to him one by one, surely not I. And he said to them, it is one of the 12 who dips with me in the bowl, for the Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him. But to woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed, it would have been good for that man if he had not been born. And while they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, take it, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them. They all drank from it, and he said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I shall never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, you will all fall away, it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, even though all may fall away, yet I will not. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, that you yourself this very night before a cock crows twice shall three times deny me. But Peter kept saying insistently, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they were always saying the same thing. Amen. In getting close to the Passover, we find that one of the central characters in the scripture is actually Judas. And this is not something that is done just out of happenstance. I think there's a very particular reason why. Judas ends up playing a pretty large role as he leads up to this time. And I think the life of Judas in many ways should really speak to us, especially as we are embarking on the road to the cross, as we've been doing throughout this whole time. There's an interesting situation. The first thing that Mark is kind of drawing the picture of is this very expensive perfume that is wasted in a certain way. And I think this has a lot of deep ramifications for us because anything that's given to the Lord, any sacrifice that maybe the world will deem as a waste or whatnot, in God, it's never a waste. There's always something precious, something eternal, something holy about the sacrifice of God's people. I know that you run into a lot of different situations in ministry, and I've had some people even say, you know, Pastor Sam, isn't it better if I actually don't give to the church, and if I take the money that I would have given to the church, and then I invest the money, and then make more money, and then I can give more money to the church? And I said, no. It doesn't really work that way because we are sinful people. And, you know, if you can't give a little bit of your money, trust me, when you have a lot of bit of your money, it's going to be very difficult to do that. But what seems very logical in the world, what seems to make the most sense in the world, a lot of times doesn't make any sense in the kingdom of God. Or I should say the other way, what seems to make no sense in the kingdom of God, or in the world, actually makes a lot of sense. And in this case, he's saying, look, now Judas is bringing this point up because he's been stealing this whole time. And so we see this picture. And if in your own life and in you're endeavoring something, whatever you do for the kingdom of God, don't ever consider that to be a waste. Even if your parents say, hey, man, you went to school for this. Why are you going to go on the mission field? Or you spent your whole life pursuing this. Why are you going to do that? I hope, this is my sincere prayers, or pastor, I pray that we would all waste our life on the Lord. Right? Focus on things that are unseen and not the things that are seen. Focus on things that are eternal, not on those things that are temporal. There's a very famous quote by this young missionary named Jim Elliot. And he says so wisely. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And the only way he can say something like that, because he had this eternal perspective. He had the perspective of this woman. What seemed like very costly, and I'm a whole year's wages, other passages will talk about this. It would seem like a waste to pour it on. But, see, it's to whom the oil is poured over. It's to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that in itself becomes invaluable. When we give our life over to Jesus, it becomes something that's so precious. You know, I mean, this is going to sound really rude, okay? And so just forgive me for that. But I have a family member of mine that is getting a PhD, and just his PhD is on fish. And his PhD is on fish. You know, and so I was like, are you serious? That's it? You know, there are certain ways that we can spend our lives on, right? Surely, you can do something better than fish. But that's the whole point. You know, it's with to whom you pour your life on. And I pray that all of us, we waste our life on this. So let me go back to Judas. And so Judas is this tragic figure, but I want you to see that all throughout, Jesus is continually making an effort to change Judas's heart. It's not just just happening happenstance. So the picture here in this Passover, you have John, that's the passage will say that's actually his breast is right on Jesus. So John is sitting right next to him. And tomorrow night, when we have our Seder meal here at the sanctuary, that just means a traditional Jewish Passover. And the stage will be set up, and we'll have a low table. And you'll see exactly how it works. No one sits in chairs. They all actually recline. And so when they're talking about reclining, that's what they're talking about. And so Jesus is reclining. John is also reclining. But the person sitting right next to John is Judas. Or on the other side, you know, the right and left hand is actually Judas. And he says, whoever I dip the morsel to, to that person is the one that is going to betray me. And so Jesus reclining, I mean, he can't really go three people down. He dips it and he gives it to Judas, and thus providing Judas an opportunity to repent. The passage just says before that he already went and tried to seek out how to betray him. And so Jesus already knew it was in his heart, but yet he gives him an opportunity right then and there. And then other guys don't know what's going on, so the other guys ask, oh, who, John, who's he talking about? Thus, Judas is sitting right next to. And it's this slight gesture to say, Judas, here's an opportunity to repent. There's another opportunity, I don't want to get into this, but when Jesus is approached in the garden, and he comes up, and remember, Judas comes, and he betrays him with a kiss. But Jesus says something, another opportunity for Judas to repent, but he doesn't. And you see in this whole, as we go to the cross, I know Judas seems to be this very, very tragic figure in the scriptures, but Judas always had an opportunity to repent. He always, I mean, especially as you look through the Gospels all throughout, through John and other passages, that we see that Jesus continually gives Judas opportunity after opportunity, opportunity to repent and to get his life right with God. And Judas doesn't, you know, one after another. And this is kind of what makes Judas a really interesting case here is that, you know, amongst all the other disciples that were there, he was probably the most respected of them all. Judas, if you remember, in their history, Judas was the only Judean out of the whole group. In other words, he was a city guy. And all the other disciples, they were all hicks. They were all from the countryside. You know, they're all from Shatin and forgive me if you're from Shatin. But, you know, they're all from Tinshuai and, you know, I mean, country folk. And, you know, as American, they're all from, like, Mississippi, you know. Judas was a New Yorker. He was a city slicker. He was sophisticated and all those things. And the other guys weren't. And so when you get to the book of Acts, there's a really interesting passage that comes about. And in the book of Acts, they get a word from the Lord that they should replace Judas. And remember they pray, it says, Lord, you know the hearts of all men. So choose for us today who should replace Judas. And you remember in that picture, next thing you know, they cast lots. And basically modern day version of flipping a coin. Heads or tails, it's either Matthias or Barabbas. And they totally missed the whole boat. But they came to a point of humility because of Judas. He was a sophisticated. Some of you guys are about to go on a mission trip soon. When you go on a mission trip, you usually give one person in charge of logistics and the money and all that stuff, right? Do you pick the dumbest guy to do that? Do you pick the most untrustworthy person? Of course not. You pick the brightest. You pick the most trustworthy. That's exactly who Judas was in this whole group. Yet, right, he betrayed Jesus. And so the disciples are just head spinning through this whole ordeal, you know, about what's going on. And so when we look at this picture of Judas, a lot of times, really, he's a picture of us. We may look good on the outside. We may seem like everything's in order. But there could be little things that are going on in our lives that are actually not really that good. I think Jesus knew that he was stealing money the whole time. And yet, the Lord's compassion over him, again and again and again and again, to give him an opportunity to repent. God's love over even this sinner that's ripping him off. I mean, can you imagine that? You know, when Jesus talks about these aspects of love your enemy, he wasn't kidding. It wasn't just a concept. He was literally living it out. Probably every single day he was with Judas. And he was just constantly loving him, giving him opportunity, giving him the seat of honor next to him again and again. And yet Judas ends up betraying him. As a reflection today, as we go into prayer, think about Judas. Think about parts of our life that maybe reflect what Judas's life. Maybe on the outside, everything is going well. On the outside, we seem to be respected and we seem to have accolades from people. They think, wow, that's a good Christian man or good Christian woman. But let's dig deeper into our souls this morning. Let's go past some layers and find those places of darkness that every single one of us has. And as we go to the cross, as we're on the way to the cross, this is an opportunity, this morning is an opportunity to get our lives right before the Lord. It's to ask Holy Spirit to dig deep into those areas of our heart where there is that darkness and find that place of repentance. Because eventually, those opportunities do run out. And they ran out for Judas. And they can also run out for us. And so as we go the day before the Passover and we meditate on Judas Iscariot, let's think about what are those things in my heart that no one else sees. Everyone else thinks it's perfect. But yet I know deep inside, and Holy Spirit knows deep inside, there's darkness there. And then ask God, as Holy Spirit now is leading you into a time of repentance, to come before the Lord and to repent and to be cleansed and to be whole and to be forgiven, to have the opportunity that Judas had, but to be a little different and actually follow through instead of Jesus or Judas not following through. Amen? Can I invite Janella to come? And this morning is the day of repentance. It's the day of coming before Jesus as he confronts our weaknesses, as he confronts our sin. He doesn't, notice with Judas, he doesn't blab it out to everybody. He just approaches Judas. See, no one else has to be involved in this. But he says to the one whom I dip the morsel, are you coming to betray me with a kiss, Judas? I've been with you every day. And so not with anybody else, but with you and the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning, let's come to him in repentance. Now, part of the sin or the darkness may include other people. And today is a day to make it right with other people. If you've harmed someone, if you've hurt somebody, the day of repentance is also reflected in repenting in front of others. And you take care of that throughout the rest of this day. But for this morning, it's just you and Jesus. And he's taken the morsel and he's given it to you. The things that nobody else knows, but you know. And Jesus offers you repentance and freedom and healing and forgiveness. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning as we worship the Lord, that you release what's in our hearts.
Of peace. gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied for every sin. Him was laid here in the death of Christ. I live there in the ground, his body lay. The world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Let's continue to pray for ourselves this morning. Let's pray for just real complete honesty before the Lord. No one else enters the picture, just you and Jesus. And he leans towards you, and he's dipping the morsel in front of you. The issue may not be betrayal. The issue may be lying. The issue may be some sort of addiction. Let's be honest with the Lord, and as he offers us his hand of forgiveness, offers us his hand of healing and restoration, let's respond, not like Judas did. But let's respond with repentance and asking God to help us overcome whatever it is. And so let's spend some time. I'll give you some time, then we're going to pray for one more thing. And I'll let you loose to pray whatever you need to pray. Well, let's pray as individuals now. As Jesus stands in front of us and confronts us with our sin, especially those that are hidden. Let's pray. Can I invite you now to pray as a community, as a church? Let's pray that as a church that we would be honest before the Lord. If there are roads that we're taking, maybe decisions that we're making, or things that are that we're endeavoring as a body that's not pleasing to the Lord, let's seek in repentance on behalf of the church. Maybe we're lifting up leaders instead of God. Maybe we're trusting in programs or classes or events instead of Jesus. Whatever it may be, anything that replaces God as a church, well, let's ask God as He places a morsel in front of the whole body. And let's just seek Him right now and repent corporately. Whenever we don't put Him first as a church, can we join together and repent on behalf of the body of Christ? Father, we come humbly before You, Lord, this morning. God, we confess that many times we're like Judas, individually and as a church, God. Lord, we're respected. We look good on the outside. We seem to have fans and given responsibilities in the kingdom. But yet deep inside, Lord, we're devious. We're addicted. Selfish. Trust in ourselves and other things instead of you. And in that, we seek for repentance and forgiveness this morning, individually and corporately as a body. God, we take of the morsel, Lord. But Lord, we respond in repentance. I pray that throughout this day, God, that you would take us deeper and deeper in you. God, a deeper revelation, God, of our sinfulness. But Lord, yet a greater revelation of your mercy. We don't wallow in our sinfulness, God, but we rejoice in your forgiveness. It's your kindness that leads us to repentance. And so throughout this day, God, I pray that you would draw us closer and closer on the way to the cross. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you. Please enjoy the rest of your prayer time. And this day, do reflect. And let this truly be the day of repentance before the Lord.